again, everyone, welcome to episode 125 of the Drunk Friend Podcast. We're back. We're back. We took a holiday break. Alex, you're still alive. You had a break. We had a break. We're back. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. How are you?
Sick. Sick. My kid went back to daycare and just started hanging out with other kids. That's how it starts.
Yeah, everyone's sick this time of year. It's not fun. And in addition to you being sick, you were also telling me about some trouble you were having with your chair because you were typing so furiously. What were you typing about? Were you like sending some fan mail to Pete Dorr or something? Or are you?
It was.
Were you scribbling down a review of? You just desperately had to get your thoughts on the new Felix the Cat reissue for NES.
Yeah, a lot of people excited about that. I have my copy on the NES. I'm happy with how expensive that one is. I don't need another expensive copy of that. But yeah, I don't know what happened. I was typing away at work, and then my armrest fell into the floor, and I thought it was a sign that maybe I was working a little too hard. If you're typing so hard that your elbows are wiggling your armrests loose on your computer chair, maybe you need to take a break.
Just picture you like both eyes squinting, your teeth are gritted, and you're just like, you're like making some sort of noise.
Yeah,
noises just emanating from you. Like as you're typing.
Yeah, a lot of grunts, a lot of noises, a lot of strained sounds, but we fixed it. We got our back going. And then nice. Then it just still finds a way to unplug my headset right before we record. But that's neither here nor there. Are you the kind of guy who's like, resolutions, that's not for me, dog? Or do you actually do some stuff? Do you write some things down? Do you make predictions and plans for yourself?
I sure as heck don't write anything down. No, I entertain the thought for like a couple days, and then I completely forget by January 4th or so. So, not really. I do want to keep playing as much Switch stuff as I can. I just got Ghouls and Ghosts Resurrection.
Ooh.
I'm obsessed with Slay the Spire. I can't stop playing it. I love card games like that. I don't know if you've played that, but it's pretty damn addictive. It's really addictive. It's impossible to put down. It's always just like one more run. And yeah, it's,
I hear you there. Yeah.
It's also very difficult. At least a couple of the characters are tricky to get the hang of when going through runs. If you got any tips for me to get better at Slay the Spire, to get good at Slay the Spire, email the show, email us, and let us know if you play this game, because I can't get enough of it. I really enjoy it.
That's awesome.
I really like the daily challenges, although some of them are total bullshit.
Like what? What's bullshit?
Well, I mean, it just gives you a randomized deck of like 50 cards, and then every time you rest up, your HP goes down by 5. Like your maximum HP goes down by 5. It's like, It's tricky. I've yet to complete one. But I've made it to the final boss like 4 times and I just get slaughtered. But it's a really fun game. I love card stuff like that. And you can email the show if you know of any other games like that. Where it's like about deck building and complementary like combos and stuff like that. Good stuff. I really like that game. But yeah, that's basically the only New Year's thing that I have is just play more video games. Which
is that going to reflect on your channel, some more Switch reviews?
Yeah, probably.
Cool.
Definitely for Ghouls and Ghosts. There's a few more. I've realized like I've done nothing but like Mario so far for Switch, except for like Sea of Stars, but it'd be nice to get out of the Mario thing for a while and look at something else.
Yeah.
But there's still plenty of Super Nintendo stuff to look at, like Incredible Crash Dummies.
Yeah. I've covered the NES version of that. It's garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got a neat idea where it's like the body parts fly off the dummies.
Yeah.
That acts as your life meter, but the game sucks.
Yeah. It's tough to play. You got to get those Chester Cheetah games, man. You got to do it. I got to know what's going on with Chester.
Doesn't Console Wars has me beat by like 7 years on that? I think they did one like back in like 2015 or something like that. But and I'm like, I've always been thinking like, yeah, I should get to those games because I've watched that episode at least a couple times. So yeah, I need to get to those. I need to get to like a few more of those like Koei games, like Romance of the Three Kingdoms, all that crap.
Yeah.
Nobunaga's Ambition, all that crap.
I got that That's a little sneak peek. I got one of those coming.
Oh, yeah? For NES?
Yeah, you got to bite the bullet on those, because I'm interested in those games, but they're kind of tough to show off in video form. So,
well, you can't get any good footage for those, because it's just...
It's math!
Well, I mean, what are you looking at? You're just looking at a bunch of menus, basically. It's not exciting footage, so... Although you should try and make it exciting by like adding flames to everything, or I don't know, like reenact the battles with action figures instead of showing the game. I don't know.
Oh, that would have been a great. Well, it's too late now, but that would have been next time. I'll get my G.I. Joes out and be like, "This is Oda Nobunaga."
So what did you think? Can I get a spoiler? Like, what did you think of the game?
I like those games. So I got 1 and 2 on the NES, and I like them. They're not the kind of games I would like typically gravitate towards. So, you know, it came up on the old randomizer, and I kind of bit my lip. I was like, nah, I don't know if I want. I got to do it. I can't keep putting these off. I got to get into one.
I know. It's like, oh, it's so daunting, and they're like so much work.
Yeah.
And it's like they weren't at the time, but they are now.
Right. And I like, you know, I like to do a little bit of history. I like to know what I'm talking about with those games too, because like you said, you can't just show the game. You can't be like you can't remark on the graphics or anything. The gameplay is what it is. So I'd spent a little bit of time talking about like who Oda Nobunaga is, who or was, what they were all about and what they did and accomplished, and then how that context kind of fits into the game and why that matters. And I think that helps it be more than just a review of math and more of like, this is what is at stake. So that was kind of fun. So I learned a little bit about, you know, a feudal era samurai, which is pretty sweet.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a very strong name, Odin Nobunaga. It sounds like you'd be like the shortstop for the Arizona Diamondbacks or something. You know, like remember that second baseman the White Sox had when they won the, I think, was it on the World Series?
Yeah, Tadaguchi. Is that who you're talking about?
Tadaguchi. Yeah. Yes, he made me think of him. So,
that guy sounds like unsung.
Fourth infielder.
Not enough people talking about Tadaguchi. That's what I'm saying. No, very low jersey sales out of that guy, but that's a shame because he was really solid. Number five, Tadaguchi.
Just in general, yeah. Well, speaking of number five, I don't know why. I guess it's because we want to, you know, be able to make entertaining content for our listeners. Mm-hmm. But I created, just off the top of my head, a power rankings.
Yeah.
Of the best. Hold on to your seats, folks. This is major. I got to build this up properly. The best chicken sandwiches and fast food places.
Wow. Okay. Pause for a second so that I can fit in that power ranking sound effect we had last time. Power rankings. You know that one.
Power rankings.
That's awesome. Okay. So I really only have a top four. Because there's only four. There's really only four that I like.
No honorable mentions, even. You just four, and that's
well,
it.
Well, I mean, I could do outside looking into my top four.
Sure. We'll save that for after you name the first three.
Okay. My number four best chicken sandwich in any fast food place in the United States, I should specify, is Chick-fil-A.
Really?
I'm not a huge Chick-fil-A guy. I don't really get the hype. Don't totally understand it.
I don't even know if that would have been on my list.
Oh, you're not a Chick-fil-A guy either?
I don't understand why the buns are greasy. What's going on with that? why is the sandwich so slippery?
Why do I have to put the mayo on myself? Like, come on.
Yeah, what's going on? Why is it? Yeah, the pickle. It's all about the pickle on that sandwich. That's a good pickle. You not a pickle guy?
No, not on chicken sandwiches. I don't understand that what they're trying to do there. I don't get why they put pickles on. I like pickles in general. I'm not like Pam, where I actually eat the dill pickle, which is just craziness.
What?
Just unhinged lunacy. No, I'm just kidding. I've done that a couple times, but
you act like it's exotic. You're like, I would never, you know, the pickle. I'd save it for my birthday. You know, that's when I'm doing the pickle. I don't always do it. It's a treat for me when I do it.
You know, there's some guy out there that's got like a big like ice cream bucket full of those pickles.
Oh, yeah,
just, like, goes in there and grabs a fistful of them and just shoves them in his mouth.
Yeah, he uses like the same net he uses for his aquarium.
Right. Just got to wash out the seaweed and all the grime and shit. But yeah, my number four is Chick-fil-A. I thought you'd be shocked that that was low because everybody loves Chick-fil-A. But
nah,
no.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan of Chick-fil-A.
I'm not huge into them, but they are decent enough where it's like, yeah, I'll have a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Number three is Wendy's.
Okay, now I can get behind that.
There was a brief period of time when Wendy's was my number one.
What happened?
I found two that are better.
Okay, so they didn't backslide. You just found two that were.
Yeah,
superior.
Plus with Wendy's, I find the quality is way too oscillates from really crappy and sloppy to very good. I love the tomato. I love the liberal use of mayo.
You're a mayo guy, huh? I despise mayo.
Oh, big time.
Mayo is my pickle. Mayo's not my
thing. I used to hate mayo. Now I love it.
Really?
So, I don't know. Maybe you'll come around one day. Yeah, when I was a kid, I hated mayo. I couldn't even go near it. Miracle Whip had a lot to do with that because Miracle Whip is the devil's ass. It's just absolute garbage. But mayo, like,
you just associated the two because they're very different, right?
Yeah, they are. Well, yeah, I just thought that's what all mayo tasted like.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Miracle Whip.
Gotcha.
So I never liked it. And then I was like, it's actually very good. And but yeah, Wendy's, I like the addition of the tomato on there. That's key because it kind of replaces the pickle in terms of adding moisture to the.
You've been watching a lot of these fast food guys try out sandwiches. I know your vocabulary in describing the chicken sandwiches is very strong.
The only guy I watch is the review of the week guy.
Yeah,
the guy from the meme that's like, my day is ruined and my misery is disproportionate. I forget what it is.
Do you remember when he got food poisoning? It was crazy.
No, did he really get food poisoning from something for a video?
I think it was from a Wendy's sandwich. Not to throw Wendy's under the bus, but it was from like some Italian sandwich that they had out for a hot second.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I would not buy anything with the word Italian in it.
Not from Wendy's.
From any fast food place. That's a bad idea. But that's terrible. Ugh.
Yeah.
But he's basically the only guy I watch. But yeah, I'm working on my vernacular. I'm working on
doing great. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for noticing.
Fast food drunk. That'd be a good side channel when you get time. Because everybody likes fast food when they're drunk. I do want to ask you though, we're just talking base level chicken sandwich here, but I like the Asiago whatever ranch baked whatever fancy chicken sandwich they have. I like that one quite a bit. Number nine where I live.
And the spicy chicken sandwich is also very good, but that's cheating. I'm talking just basic chicken sandwich.
Oh, you're just talking basic. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I go to. Like, I judge a franchise, a chain, by the quality of their chicken sandwich. And that brings me to number two. I don't know if you've heard of this place, but it's called Stripes.
No, I don't think I have.
And it might be a Southwest thing, but Stripes uses big-ass hunks of chicken. And it's like a huge-ass sandwich. It's great. It's actually kind of difficult to eat. It ends up becoming a little bit of a mess.
I like that. I don't mind that.
Yeah, it's delicious. The sauce they use, I can't like put my finger on it, but it's really good. And I just had one last week. It was excellent. I don't think the problem with that one is I don't think I would be able to have that one very often because I'd probably get an angioplasty within a few months or so. But
sure. What's this sauce like? Describe the sauce because it's not spicy. So what is it? What are we doing?
No, it's hard to describe. I'm not sure what it's like. It's very sharp. I guess it is kind of spicy, but not like hot spicy. I don't know. I'm still working on my words. I guess I haven't figured that one out. I'm gonna have to have another one. And speaking of one, my number one.
Nice.
The Arches, Mickey D's.
Mickey D's.
Yeah, I think they have the best chicken sandwich. It's clean.
Clean.
You just like freaking eat it at like 2 a.m. when you're exhausted from not being able to sleep, and you just shove that thing in your mouth, and it's satisfying. Like I don't feel like shit after eating it, and that's important too, because sometimes with some of this stuff, I immediately regret.
Yeah,
eating some of this stuff because I feel awful after.
Well, that's a good call because I'll normally go for a spicy if there's an option, and I always think about halfway through the night I shouldn't have done that because now it's alive inside me. But
yeah,
yeah, I think if you, I've never heard anybody describe a chicken sandwich or any food as, you know, it's good because it's clean.
Well, that's the best way I can describe it. It's just like, it's easy. It's not like an event, like a Stripes chicken sandwich.
Right.
It's not potentially sloppy like Wendy's, and it's not dry and boring like Chick-fil-A.
Right. Okay.
So, and it's not total ass like Burger King. I don't even go near Burger King. I hate all things Burger King.
Wow.
That's my hot take for the day. But
right. Unless they sponsor the show, in which case, BK all the way. But until then, go to hell.
But yeah, that's my power rankings. Let us know what you think. Email the show. That's going to be my thing this episode. I'm just going to tell everybody to email the show.
Let us know if you like lettuce on your sandwich.
Let us know if I do like a fresh cut of lettuce on the even iceberg lettuce works because it adds a crunch to the procedure, which I like. So
procedure, I love it. This is great.
I'm telling you, I'm passionate about chicken sandwiches.
I've never met somebody so passionate about a plain chicken sandwich. I've met the Spicy Boys.
Yes.
Spicy chicken sandwich fans are like NASCAR fans, right? They're in your face. They'll scream their favorite at you. You don't even have to engage with them. They'll just yell at you. They're like, Popeyes! And you're like, all right, easy there. I didn't ask.
I don't get the big deal with Popeyes either. I don't think it's that great.
Really? I like it all right.
It's okay. Again, it's kind of sloppy. And Church's chicken is also not great.
Well, Churches are usually like in a gas station.
Are they?
Or maybe not all of them, but I have a strong association.
There's one down the road from us, and Pearl got food poisoning from
really?
From that. Yeah, that was years ago. Oh yeah. But yeah, Church's off limits. But and Burger King is off limits too because it's just a cavalcade of nonsense. I don't know. I'm ready to move on from chicken sandwiches. I'm starting to make myself hungry.
I am starving. Thank you. Well, we do have emails we could get to. I could start reading this first one. We got a big honker from our pal Drew. And when I say we got a big honker from him, I don't mean he attached a picture. I mean it's just a long email. He said,
no, he attached a video.
Oh, that's true. It's called, the title of the email is Legacy and Mid-90s Square, which should probably be the name of Alex's autobiography. he says, hi, Tralix, which, by the way, I know that's like a portmanteau of our name, but it also sounds like a way that Alex Trebek would introduce himself drunk. Like, I'm Tralix Trebek. Sorry. Like, it just...
Have another beach wave, but while the Tralix is here,
love it.
Greg Maddox on the mound.
Hey, there's Greg. He's on the mound. He says, I came across this video that covers the development of both Secret of Mana and Chrono Trigger and found it fascinating. Alex, with your history of graphic design, I think that was it, I'd love to hear some opinions. And he linked the video here. Now, Alex, I skimmed through this video and I am appalled by... One, what I saw in terms of just what was, you know, the graphic design. And then two, I looked, this channel doesn't have nearly enough subscribers for the amount of effort that went into this frickin' video.
Yeah, the channel is Stray Fox. I'm sure if anyone's familiar with either of our channels, they know this channel. I would guess anyway, because it's really good. Very professionally done. I don't know how this person does, like, some of their, like, shots of like, you know, they'll show music and books and stuff like that, like notes.
Yeah.
And it's like it looks like Hollywood quality. Like, how's this guy do this? But yeah, it's a great channel. It's a great video. It's a little long for my liking, 30 minutes. That's just my personal philosophy. But yeah, I love that channel, and they do great work. We should have them as a guest if we can get them. But although
that's
I don't think
call.
They're, I think there'd be a time zone thing.
You don't think that's an Appalachian accent that guy has?
Do what now? Let me actually look and see if... this channel doesn't even have an about section. So I have no idea where this person is from.
And to clarify to listeners, Stray Fox clearly sounds like they're from England.
Yeah.
Or Great Britain. Not from where I'm from. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be great to have someone like that on the show. Just because, like, all these 3D renders that are in this video... And just the amount of detail that goes into it, I'm appalled by that. Like, it takes me a while these days to put together like a 10-minute video. I'm trying to add a little more than maybe I used to. Try to get a little more. I also try to experiment with things. I want to expand my skill set. And that takes me forever. I can't imagine putting together a video like this. I feel like I would have had to have started planning it during the pandemic.
Yeah, it's really tough to do a 30-minute video just in our style, let alone like this.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty dang tough. But instead of being impressed, you just get mad.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. So I guess with the graphic design, I guess you're impressed, huh?
Sure.
It's a good graphic design video. Okay, cool.
I guess. I need to go back to school so I can figure out how to do some of this stuff.
Same.
So I can really show off my and I should probably get a computer build more recent than 2017.
So, yeah. That's true.
Just real quick aside here, I've been trying to render a 15-hour, 20-hour, 24-hour SNES Drunk video where I'm just throwing all my stuff into one video. And my computer refuses to render it past 80%. It just quits.
Oh, no. How many times have you tried and had to find out the hard way?
Like 6 times now. Ugh. And it takes hours to just even get to 80%. And then it's just like, nope, I'm done. So it's like, it's just annoying. So yeah, I got to update my setup here so I can keep making stuff.
Bummer.
Yeah, I have a 24-hour video about Incredible Crash Dummies coming your way as soon as I freaking get this new setup. But
Can't wait. All right, he goes on and says, I don't believe either of you are big Pokemon followers, but I've been collecting Pokemon since the OG Red-Blue days in 96. Some that I have in Pokemon Home on my Switch have been passed up through the generations and are older than my 10-year-old daughter. Lately, my son is rapidly becoming a Pokemaniac, just like his old man. It's amazing how much we are bonding over these games. He and I will talk about movesets, type coverage, competitive builds, etc. He can't get enough. It's great! So I pulled out my old pink DS Lite and popped in Pokemon Sapphire. The cart still worked, and he's been blasting his way through it. I never thought back in the day I'd be bonding with my kids over games like this. He also beat Metroid Dread and designed some surprisingly intricate troll levels on Mario Maker. There's a reason we who listen to this podcast value games the way we do, and I'm glad to get to pass these on to my kids, which are way better than Minecraft and Fortnite, which his peers play. Enjoy a glass like the one in the thirst-quenching logo, Drew. Then he goes on to say, P.S. Alex, for the rest of the episode, I want you to randomly and unannounced throw in an impression right in the middle of Trav, if possible, a Macho Man or Hatfield, oh yeah, or a Schwarzenegger, get to the chopper. So I'm glad we read that email first to give you more time to interrupt me.
Yeah. No, I'll be nice. I won't do that too much because I remember doing that before and you actually getting mad at me. So
I got mad.
Kind of. Yeah. You were just like, can you stop?
Come on. Give me a break.
I mean, if you were acting, you're doing a fine job, if I say so myself.
I am a bit of an actor, if I do say so. But it is cool to bond with your kids over stuff you grew up with. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was going to say, I would love to be able to get those games, the cartridges, to play on Pocket, but it seems like every time I go to a used game store, if they have those games, it's like $70.
Yeah.
Or like $75, $80 for Pokemon Yellow or Red or Blue, and it just makes me sad.
Yeah, they're super pricey. And there's so many fakes out there, too. And
yep.
It's a pain in the A, but yeah, I've been trying. You know, my kid, she just turned 5 this November, and she just does not have the interest for the video games. Because I remember when I was around 5, we got a Nintendo, and I wasn't very good at it, but I still liked watching my dad play it because he could actually get far, right? And I was kind of enthralled by it, but she's just not that interested in it. So maybe she will be, maybe she won't be, but I'm hoping one day she finds something within the gaming sphere that she can get excited about. She does have a little friend at school, though, who I don't know how she, I guess maybe her dad plays Zelda, but she's infatuated with Zelda and Link, so every time she dresses up, she has to be one of the two. And so I'm hoping that little friend can get my kid interested at least a little bit, because there's the whole princess thing that my kid's into. But we'll get there. We'll get there eventually. Pokemon seems like a good way to do it, though, because there's just so many ways you can interact. There's the cards and the game. It's so layered.
It's just one more battle. It's the perfect short attention span handheld game, really. I have the one for Game Boy Advance. I forget which one that is. It's like Ruby, I think. One of those. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's perfect for just like, I'm going to play for 10 minutes and then forget about this for another 3 months. So I'll play like two battles and do something, go somewhere, and then I'm done. Yeah. And it saves right there. And I'm like, what else could you ask from a Game Boy game? So, I mean, there's a reason that these games become popular.
Yeah, that's for sure. They are crack cocaine.
Ooh, yeah.
That wasn't good. I gotta
build up the macho, man. Yeah. I gotta start on the lower register down here. Yeah. And
I can't because my throat is dead.
The Macho Man build-up is my favorite thing because it's like him. You can hear him psyching himself up. Like, he's revving his own engine. He's like, I'm getting ready to get wild.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan, yeah. Talking about the Pokemaniacs, yeah.
Pokemaniac. I was like, Hulkamaniac? Like, I had thought I'd misheard you for a second.
That's funny.
I can't believe people actually, like, enjoy my impressions because I think they're pretty crappy.
No way, dude. They're hilarious. They are hilarious.
They're pretty much a stretch, like a big exaggeration of stuff. Like, obviously, Hetfield saying "yeah" every other sentence is. I mean, that's when you if you grew up with Metallica in the '90s during the load and reload era, it's not that
it's accurate,
it's not that
yeah.
far-fetched. Yeah, yeah. I love the compilation video on YouTube that has every time Hetfield says "yeah." Yeah. And it's like 3 on Kill 'Em All, 4 on, or like 1 on Ride the Lightning, and then you get to load, and it's like 30, 35, and it's like, dude, enough. But, yeah.
Hi, I'm Michelle from Point and Drink Adventure Podcast. Join me and my friend Pam from YouTube channel Cannot Be Tamed as we drink a little wine and talk about the media we consume. Everything from movies, video games, and even vinyl pickups. Listen on wherever podcasts can be heard and check out our YouTube channel, Point and Drink Adventure, for more extra video recordings of our podcast. Drink well, my friends. Bye.
So, all right. I got this next email here.
All right.
It's show questions from Grant. And he says, now that the most exciting thing on the podcast is Alex's secret marriage?
Ooh.
What? I'll ask, who of your co-hosts and guests would be your best man slash woman slash etc. or video game characters would you have in your wedding party?
Oh.
I'll admit I heard Alex say wife and I was like, huh, cool. Thanks for the great observation there. Thanks for the great guests and whose programs I found through this podcast and your personal channels. Keep up the great work and don't make the outro easier for Alex. How dare you? P.S. No parentheticals this email.
Oh, good.
Good.
Parentheticals are very hard to communicate when you're reading an email.
Yeah. Yeah, as just proven by adding that needless parenthetical at the end. do you have an answer to this? Because I'm going to need to think a bit here, I think.
Oh, man. Who of your co-hosts and guests would be your best man or woman, etc., or video game characters would you have in your wedding party? I mean, I you know, at the risk of leaving anyone out, and I think I want to kind of think outside the box, so anyone that's been on the show that's a close friend of mine is about to get booted from the wedding party for the sake of fun, but I think we got to have Dad from Mariachi Entertainment System. That guy would be fun.
I was going very cool guy Mike.
Very cool guy Mike. You got to have very cool guy Mike. He's like the wedding singer.
Yeah, he needs to do a speech. He'll have a live microphone during the reception, just saying whatever he wants, doing whatever he wants. He'd be hilarious. If for video game characters, I'd go with Macho Man Randy Savage from WWF Royal Rumble.
I'll allow it. Yeah, that's cool.
And Ken Griffey Jr. from Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball. Obviously. I mean, seriously, how freaking cool would it be to have Ken Griffey Jr. at your wedding? You just look around, it's all the people you know, and then there's freaking Ken Griffey like right there.
But he's just over there. He's just bored. He's like, why am I here?
Yeah, he's just like, when can I leave?
When is food? Yeah. Man, yeah, we've had so many good guests. I'm trying to think who would be other than Dad.
Michael Pachter. No, I don't
know. Pachter would be fun because he would just start fights with everybody.
Yeah, Pachter would be the, he'd be the instigator. I don't want to say it.
He'd pit us all against each other because he has strong opinions out of that guy. That's his job.
That's what I meant to say, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Riggs would make a great like minister. You know, like he can officiate the wedding. Is that how it works? Are wishings officiated?
Yeah. Yeah, but he would wear a referee outfit.
I bet that guy has one. He's a huge wrestling fan, so
there you go.
I bet he went as like Earl Hebner for Halloween one day or something. But Sam Griffin can help provide the music.
Yeah, or Dan Hess.
Dan Hess.
You get Dan Hess in there, hell yeah. Now we're talking.
Frank Sivaldi can lecture everyone about video game history.
I'd love that.
Put up a presentation. But yeah, obviously Dad from MES.
The most obvious. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the most obvious, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe Super Derek, you know, just whatever he could do with that voice.
Yeah, I think I would actually have the wedding at his house.
Yes!
Because it's so, like,
so fancy.
Cozy looking.
It looks warm.
Yeah, he's got, like, mahogany shelves and books and, you know, a fireplace and cognac and leather chairs and shit. And it's like, well, yeah, that's pretty sweet. He's got, like, the most sophisticated looking setup out of any of these people. But, yeah.
Man, and a good...
Yeah, that's a good thought.
And a good after party. Jason Heine, you bring him in for that after
party.
Oh,
of course.
Good time.
Of course.
Good time.
Yes.
Party it down.
As long as we can play nothing but, like, Rush 2049. Yeah. See if we can replicate that.
I can't imagine that guy having a bad day. Thing. Like, he's had some struggles in life lately, but he's so full of grace and charm. So if you're around him, you're having fun. So as long as he's around, I think we'd be in good shape. But yeah, we got a lot to pull from. Our wedding's going to be well attended, and it's going to be, I don't know what's like our wedding, like me and you were getting married, but it's going to be off the hook if we get to pull from the guest list.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if it's all the guests, all in one place.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine Dylan and Pam in the same room at the same time?
Yeah, what does Top Spot look like? Will we ever know? No one knows.
I guess we've never seen his picture, huh?
No. Yeah. No. Only his nice, firm, strong hands in some videos. I want to clarify that in his videos. All right, next.
You want to read this next one?
Yeah, we got Rory. He says, ahoy from Rory, which is kind of hard to say back to back. Ahoy, Rory. Hello again, drunk comrades, a.k.a. Podcast King Trav and Sports Encyclopedia Alex. Happy National Pickle Day. Hey, what a coincidence. Fuck yeah. I'm glad it wasn't.
No, I like pickles. I just don't like them on chicken sandwich.
Man.
Yeah, when's mayonnaise day?
I mean, I don't know. Come to the South. It's every day. he says, I truly appreciate the JR impression of my name on the last question I sent. It really made my day. Make his day again, Alex.
Roar. I'm sorry. can't say your name. Roar. Rory. Rory. I'm sorry, Rory.
So good.
Take him to a medical facility after a martial arts kick. I'm sorry, Rory.
Dude, I gotta know, do you do this like all day to yourself? Because it's so good. Like, it sounds practiced.
When I talk to my brother, we just do voices at each other. I swear to God. Like, we just do Pat Summerall and James Hetfield and JR. And I do Harry Carey. He does Phil Sims really good. Time and time again. He does Aikman, which cracks me up every time because Troy Aikman has a way of talking. He has like a specific speech template that he follows, and he ends, I swear to God, like you would kill yourself drinking if you played a drinking game every time Aikman said, and that's why he's able to do the things that he can do. It's just, and that's the reason why he's able to do those things that he can do. He says that like 40 times a game, I swear.
He's like my brother Madden prototype that's just filling dead air with obvious observations.
Yeah, my brother does his voice really well. But anyway.
That's, you know, we gotta get, your brother's gonna be like a cameo, like we gotta get him to record some impressions.
He would never do that.
Put him in the you'll have to slyly do it. All right. Rory goes on. He says, my question for you is, what games do you enjoy playing with your spouse? What games would you recommend for a date? I found Kirby's Dream Course to be a formidable contender. Thanks and stay rad. Rory.
Yeah, Kirby's Dream Course is a great pick because it's one of those games that's like really accessible and real easy to kind of, it's easy to play, but hard to like figure out. And it's really frustrating because, you know, the physics in that game can be pretty frustrating because it really nitpicks, like when you just barely burn the edge of the hole and it doesn't drop and it stops right next to it, like that can drive you insane. Mm. And that can make for some funny commentary, some funny moments and stuff like that. I've told the story of Pearl and I, my wife and I, playing Super Ghouls and Ghosts, like all literally like 14 straight hours or however long it was, during a huge snowstorm. So that's the game I always go with, but that's because it was like her being like gung-ho, like, what do you mean you don't like this game? You're just not playing it right. And she sits down and like cranks through like the first four levels no problem, even though she hadn't played it in like years and years. And I'm like, shit, I have been playing this wrong. But yeah, there's that. I also like puzzle platformers for you know, partner games like Limbo and Inside and stuff like that. Mm. Is real good. For versus games, couldn't tell you. I've been unplugged from modern games too much. I don't even know what versus games I would pick nowadays, but because Street Fighter, kind of gets old after a while. Mortal Kombat is a fun play. I guess that would be my pick for a versus game because it's so outlandish and goofy.
Yeah, you're taking a lady out on a first date. You're just gonna throw down with some Mortal Kombat, hit her with a few Babalities.
Damn right, Babalities. Because I still remember all those codes.
Right, and it's kind of a compliment. It's like, this is what I think about you, babe. Give you a Babality, babe.
That's a console wars style joke right there.
It really is, and I kind of want to apologize for making it. So my wife and I, we don't play a ton of games together. We did a little bit. So for a while, we got really into the, man, there's probably a name for this, but like the Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance games and Champions of Norrath, sort of that like PS2 era hack and slash kind of magic, work your way through a dungeon crawler. yeah, we had some fun with those. You know, they're not really intensive in terms of like, you know, you don't have to be super duper reactive. And then we played It Takes Two together, which... I would say don't be fooled by that game. Like it's intended to be played by couples. That's thematically what it's wanting you to do, but it's not meant for like couples that have never gamed before. It's not like base level entry. Let's play a video game together. Games seem fun because it's kind of hard and it takes like 15 hours to beat. So
okay.
You kind of have to have that in mind. It's an investment, and you might get upset with each other for a second in that game.
I find that the case with platformers or run and guns like Contra, like you don't want to play those where you could potentially like hate each other for you know, a good amount of time because you can't jump up the waterfall stage fast enough.
Exactly. But, or you go too fast. Oh, goddamn.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's about it. I, you know, she's just not interested so much in games anymore. That was kind of like a thing that we did sort of before we had a kid. But I would actually be more interested in people recommending me games that I could play with a spouse because...
Oh, yeah. I like the... I think the Baldur's Gate stuff you said, because, like, it doesn't require you to be, like, pixel perfect.
Exactly.
You know, like, wizard at video games or whatever. It's
yeah,
low bar of entry, I guess. So that's a good idea, I think. I think that's solid. I'm trying to think of what... I mostly just watch her play at this point because it's so fun to watch her play a game like Hollow Knight. You know, I left that game behind a few years ago, and I don't want to revisit it because it gets so freaking hard towards the end.
Right.
But seeing her struggle towards the end is always really entertaining.
But yeah, other than that, that's all I have. I tend to like things that are more like cooperative.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you on that. Okay, next email. Thanks, Rory.
Rory.
Next email is titled "Alex Deserves Credit," episode 56, from Chad.
Old Chad. Alex and deserves thanks. Credit. Of course, you'd pull this email. Where's thanks, the Trav Chad. Deserves credit email? At?
Thanks, Chad. Thanks, Chad. Oh. Up your ass, Trav. That's where it is. he says, "I'm going through old episodes, and I still haven't heard. I haven't heard still. And on episode 56, Alex mentions the name Keith Mitchell and how he was the left fielder for the Giants. And I actually remember this. He then corrected himself and wasn't sure where he got Keith from. It's Kevin Mitchell. Kevin Mitchell, former MVP. Well, actually, in the best possible way, in a positive way, he was close. There was a baseball player named Keith Mitchell who was Kevin Mitchell's cousin. Wow. I did not know that.
Wow.
I did not know that. I can't claim credit for anything because I didn't know that. I just got his name wrong. Although maybe it's a subconscious thing for after decades of baseball cards. Chad continues, he didn't have much of an MLB career, but I think you deserve credit. I have attached a pic of one of his cards, and sure enough, this is like score 92 or 93, I think. Mm. And yeah, he plays for the Braves. And oh, you mentioned a golfer named Keith Mitchell. That's right. That's probably where I got it from. But there was also an NFL linebacker for the Saints in the late 90s named Keith Mitchell. I definitely wouldn't have remembered that.
Wow.
And then he says, keep doing what you guys do, or keep doing what you do, guys.
Yeah, keep doing what you do, guys.
Oh, okay. Why did I have a brain fart on that sentence?
This is why you can't get through the outro.
I guess so. And I don't know why that stumbled me so bad. I will keep adding in random sports info when needed. And sure enough, we got like two other emails from Chad. Should I just read one of them?
Yeah, bring it out. Trot Chad out. Trot's like, you know how like some podcasts will have like the guy off to the side that can always be like, hey, look this up. That's our Chad. Like, yeah. Chad, hit us up on some Keith. Get us a Keith Mitchell. Pull it up. Pull it up real quick, Chad.
Well, this one, and here's where I don't deserve credit because... he emailed us like 10 minutes later after that one saying with the subject line that says Rich Gannon likes stories. He says, hello again. I don't have many people to talk old sports with, so I keep bugging you guys. You were trying to think of other QBs who were backups and played well. There were a few Packers. Mark Brunell and Matt Hasselbeck both had decent careers after starting at backups. A few others. Jeff Hostetler, the Haas.
Oh, the Haas.
Tony Romo. The Haas.
You got the Haas and the Haas there with the Hasselbeck.
and of course, Kurt Warner, not to mention a few Buck QBs who resurrected their career after being a backup, and Steve Young, Doug Williams, and Trent Dilfer.
The Dilf!
Dilfer? What? I need to clarify what I meant, though. By Rich Gannon, I meant a guy that was like around, you know, he was seemingly established. You know, like, we thought we knew what Rich Gannon was. And then he got to the Raiders with Tim Brown and Jerry Rice. Frequent emailer, Tim Brown.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Jerry Rice. And he just lit it up and won league MVP, I think, in, like, 2002 or something like that. So that's what I'm talking about. Like, these guys, some of these guys were stars, like, right away. As soon as Brunell went to the Jags, he was awesome. Hasselbeck, similar deal. Hostetler's a little different. He's kind of... a weird one. Kurt Warner's an alien, I'm almost convinced.
Dude's crazy.
He was sent from like another universe to play quarterback. He just came from nowhere.
I feel like he came from the same universe that Steve Nash came from in basketball. It was just like, wait, this guy's been in the league for a while and now he's good? What happened?
Crazy. But yeah, Doug Williams is a good shout though because he had been a quarterback for years and then he shows up in Washington and wins a Super Bowl. That was cool. But... when you were talking about, I should say, Chad continues, when you were talking about old Viking defensive backs who played a long time, I was yelling Joey Browner, and then you named him, and I threw my fist in the air.
That's awesome.
Dude, I'm not going to forget Joey Browner. He was like my favorite player as a kid. So that's Chad hitting us up with all the sports stuff.
Heck yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was a huge day in sports yesterday because three... all-time great coaches all retired within 24 hours of each other. It's no more Saban, no more Nick Saban at Alabama, no more Bill Belichick at New England, and no more Pete Carroll in Seattle, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I guess it's not surprising. It's just for that to all happen in
same
such
day.
Close proximity.
That'll be a documentary years from now. It'll be like January 10, 2024, the year of the passing of the torch or whatever.
Don't you already feel bad for the guy that's going to take over at Alabama? It's the most thankless job in the world right now.
Yeah, like, kind of. I mean, I was thinking about this, though. It's like in the playoffs that you had, you know, Kirby Smart and Sarkisian who were at some point, it's not like Saban raised them as coaches, but they were there with him right before they went to the schools that they took to the playoffs. So I got to feel like, you know, they've been churning out diamonds. I don't feel like Saban would have left his legacy unless they kind of had a nice, I don't know. I feel like he thinks there's a good thing there. I don't think he would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not worried about him. I mean, not that anybody should be, you know, we're not. No one's like, poor Alabama.
Yeah. No, nobody's saying that at all whatsoever. But nobody's saying poor New England.
I don't see them dipping too far down. I mean, recruiting might take a hit because, you know, a lot of those guys wanted to play for Saban, which is understandable, but I think they'll be all right. They got money out the ass. And that's what it is these days. It's all about money. So they'll be all right.
I saw a really funny tweet that I'm sure you'll appreciate where somebody said, can we fast forward to around this time next year when Alabama is winning the Duke's Mayo Bowl over 7-win Virginia Tech?
7 wins. We're getting 9, bitch. We're getting 9 wins. Look at our schedule. We got 9. I'm calling it now.
Who, really? 9 wins?
Yeah, we don't play anybody next year.
Nice.
If we don't win 9,
good. Okay.
They shouldn't let us in a bowl unless we win 9.
Nice. Okay. But yeah, I can't wait to see who takes that job because I can't wait to see the entitled Alabama fans' reaction to when they only win 10 games and they go to a lesser bowl and their coach is getting mayo dumped on them. And I can't wait. I'm really excited for college football next year.
I know. This is just how much you love mayo. That's what this is. No one's excited about the pickle bowl. I get it.
The mayo. Oh, there should be a pickle bowl, though.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if you watched many of the bowl games, but I think they should all have food sponsors. I know I'm not the first person to come up with that idea, but the Pop-Tarts bowl was amazing.
That was great.
Because the mascot basically committed suicide in front of a national audience, lowered himself into a toaster, and then came out on the bottom of the toaster somehow. Like a receipt at a cash register. He came out like that. I was like, what? But it turns out it's just like a giant freaking Pop-Tart, and everybody was taking like handfuls of
what
Pop-Tart and eating it right then and there.
Sounds like
it was interesting.
That is interesting. I kind of miss it when it was the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. Now it's PlayStation. That's dumb.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they all need to have food stuff. What would be the most ridiculous food to have at a bowl? What could people get? What could coaches get dunked with after they win?
God, I don't know, man. Like Duke's Mayo set the bar. I'm gonna say low.
High, but also low. Yeah. You can't do much worse than mayo, honestly.
Just like the crunchy shit at the bottom of a Long John Silver's order,
like breading and
the Long John's crunchy bowl. Like,
burnt stuff, you know, just hanging out at the bottom. That's funny. I guess you could go for smell and have like an onion bowl.
Oh yeah. They had the Outback bowl. You got
the Outback Bloomin' Onion bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what else. What could top mayo? That's a low high bar.
Just fresh iceberg lettuce bowl. Everybody just gets to take a big bite out of just a big head of fresh iceberg.
Have you ever taken a bite out of an onion?
Yeah, I got dared to do that one time, and I do like onion, but I don't like it that goddamn much, is the problem.
I've done it too, and it makes like the most horrifying sound because you can hear your teeth like crunching through like multiple layers. So it's just this huge like just this loud ass crunch. And it's really like crisp and distinct, and it seems like it would be taste good, but it really doesn't.
Boy, it doesn't.
And no, it doesn't.
And you're not fun to be around after that either because you smell like an onion.
Because you stink.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any YouTube comments because I haven't really looked at my channel much lately. So I haven't seen anything interesting on my channel. But you got a few things here.
Yeah, I got a few. I just wanted to hit. One just kind of caught me off guard. I'm not real sure. I'm just going to say I'm not real sure. This is from my Wizards and Warriors compilation video that I did on those three games a long, long time ago, years ago at this point. But I got a recent comment. It's always kind of neat when you see a comment pop up for a video that's ancient. And this person at Winem69them19.
I didn't even notice that.
Winem69them19. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just glad all of the numbers were above 18. Says, my black friend would dance and beatbox to the first game. ... And it's the ... It's the ellipses on the end. The leaving me hanging. Yeah. Like, do you want to hear more? That gets me.
It's mysterious.
It is.
And it's like Like, what else did he do? Did he do it to the second game? Did he do it to the third game?
And why did he do it to the first game?
Like, yeah.
Oh, well. Guess we'll never know. But if you're out there, please email the show. Let us know. And then...
Even if you've ever danced to Wizards and Warriors, please email us. Let us know.
Let us know what you were doing and why.
Why you would do that.
And then God, I swear this guy is an AI. He's just an AI. I mean, first of all, Ben Jabatuya, if you're out there, I'm sorry that I am accusing you of being an AI. It's just
a fake person, not a real person.
Right. Because you do have a profile picture of a human being. But on the Vice Project Doom video on the NES, again, an old video, I get the most, it's just a taped together sentence of facts that I don't know what's being said, okay? But it's coherent, but also it's like, why? Right, I'm going to read it. Let me read it. This is Vice Project Doom. He says, released by Sega, originally Sammy, in 1991 for the NES. Sammy merged with Sega back in 2004. That's why Sega was credited as the publisher on the NES Nintendo Switch Online app for the Nintendo Switch. I got addicted to this game when I bought a Switch Lite and subscribed to Nintendo Switch Online just before the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a lot of facts I don't care about. Why are you telling me all this? And you're hitting five spaces after the sentence, dude. Come on.
That's what bothers you. It is like five spaces. It makes me want to go in there and edit it down to just one space.
It does. It does.
Yeah. Don't use more than one space after a period, people. Please don't do that.
And don't tell me how you got a game 5 years. This is like a Wikipedia article for this guy's day. That's how it's written.
It's like, do you remember what day you got this on when you bought a Switch Lite? I mean, I'm going to need to know more information about this. Ben, jab it to you.
And Ben, appreciate you engaging with the channel. Hopefully I see more comments. I loved it. I just want to say that first and foremost, or second and foremost, last and last most. All right. And then the last one here, this is why I'm going to bring this one up, because I have lied to a person. This is on my Paperboy and Paperboy 2 video. Again, an oldie but a goodie. This is a comment from a couple weeks ago from Hintertainment. I don't know. Y'all figure it out. But he says, it's about Paperboy. I've played the first game a million times, have often defended it to naysayers even, but never knew delivering papers earnestly to non-subscribers did anything to improve relations with them. Kind of just blew my damn mind, man. And when he said that, I was like, well, I don't know if that's true. Did I say that? And then I went back, I looked in my script, and I was like, oh, no, I've said that. And then I was like, well, maybe it was true. And I did some research for about 20 minutes today, being like, is that possible? Can in Paperboy, if you deliver to non-subscribers enough, can you convince them to subscribe without... Because typically, to get subscribers back, you got to deliver perfectly to all the houses that are subscribed to you, and you earn a house back. I insinuated that, or you could just keep delivering to non-subscribers, and eventually they would just...
give in. Why wouldn't you just, like, stay a non-subscriber and get free newspapers?
Exactly.
Though?
Right. Logically, that would be what happened. But this poor guy, he's like, I've been playing this my entire life. Like, I made the game, almost. And I didn't know that, man. And I had to respond to him and be like, oh, dude, I think I lied. Or I don't know what I was saying right there, but it's not true. You can't do it. I don't think.
That's all head games right there. That's all in your head where you're just, I found in recent years, that's a fun way to revisit Paperboy, where you come up with like little characters that live in each of these houses. Like this guy right here, the guy with like the tucked in doorway that he's probably got like 12 cameras a ring doorbell and plus like five cameras like outside his garage and stuff. You know, that guy doesn't trust anybody.
Oh, Joe Rogan on blast. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't want your damn newspapers with your facts and your news, but,
and your crosswords. That's the part.
Crossword puzzle and
words.
Comics. I find that to be a fun way to just come up with these a-hole characters in my head that don't want your damn newspapers.
It's true.
It's a waste.
Have you ever realized well after the fact that something in your video was just an outright lie you weren't aware of?
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me want to retcon the video and be, because that's the thing about YouTube, you can't like fix
no
little thing, because I would just remove that sentence and be sleep at night.
I think you can cut stuff, because I've done that before where I just like, well, I said that wrong, so I'm just going to cut it out. Like, you can actually go in and cut certain stuff out entirely, but it's like a freaking taking a butcher knife to, you know,
right,
a loaf of bread, basically. Like, it's ugly. It doesn't, then the video doesn't flow properly. So I've only done it a couple times, but there are a few times where I've just either got something wrong or I managed to misspeak and not catch it until the video published and everybody and their mother is pointing it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's always a tricky thing to navigate, but I usually just end up putting something in the description of the video or pin a comment or something or whatever. It's not the end of the world. It's just video games. Who cares?
That's true. It is funny though that you mentioned that, because I just, again, made the Nobunaga's Ambition video, a lot of difficult to pronounce like names, and I always struggle with the company. I always want to say Koei. It's Koei. And I recorded the voiceover once, and I did about 50% good job on that. And I was like, damn it, I got to let me just record the whole thing again, because I need to get like in a flow. And I recorded it all, and I was satisfied with it, plopped it in the video, published the video, hit play on it. And the very first time I said Koei. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, I've done that a million times. I think the worst offender, if those listening to us, if you want to go check out my video on every soccer game made for the Super Nintendo, I speak the worst German you'll ever hear in your life. I forget what the game title was off the top of my head, but it's really bad, because it was called something else specific to Germany, and I think it was licensed to a specific player there, and I just absolutely butchered it like crazy. So, and it's really embarrassing, but I can't, there's nothing else I can do.
Right.
So it's just out there, and I still get comments, you know, like maybe one a month or so. It's like, your German is really bad. I'm like, yeah, thanks for noticing.
Yeah, thank you. And the Germans will let you know when you've messed up. Based off the small subset of data that I have of one German friend that we share, he'll let you know. He'll let you know. Have you ever thought about, and I think you have done this a couple of times, going back and kind of redoing some older videos to kind of update everything?
Yeah. I think 10 years is enough time to revisit stuff. I honestly just felt like I've done that with Cybernator, with Metal Warriors, with Sparkster. Those games, I just didn't do a good job the first time around. There's a few others where I'm just like, I can do a lot better than this now, because now I know I have a better idea of what I'm doing. Like Legend of the Mystical Ninja is another game like that, where somehow I managed to make that video only 2 minutes long.
Wow.
And I'm just like, what was I doing? Like, that game is awesome and deserves way more of a script than what I provided. So, yeah, I want to redo that one and a few others. Like, Secret of Mana is another one that I can redo. But, yeah, after a while, you're just... I don't see myself doing that too often, because then you're just, like, really inhaling your own farts and really, you know, enjoying them a little too much. Like, I don't want to get that far up my own ass.
Have you ever despised one of your own videos so much that you've delisted it?
No, I have not delisted anything yet.
Yeah.
I can't... There's a few videos when I was doing, like, I was just, like, looking up games on Steam that were free, and I was just like, oh, sure, why not? Let's talk about this crappy Flash game on Steam, because it's free, and yet I wish I had the resource. I wish more people reviewed these free games to see if they're worth my time, and that didn't last very long. Those games just aren't very interesting.
Yeah, you live and learn. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get on out of here. We finally got an episode back on the board. We're back. Looking forward to a good year of Drunk Friend. Hoping to get some more guests on here. Looking forward to, you know.
Looking forward to 2024.
Yeah, hell yeah. Let's make it a good one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's been another Drunk Friend podcast. You can visit polymedianetwork.com. We got more shows over there. There's new episodes of Polykill all the time. Point and Drink Adventure with our Pam, or with our Pam's pal and Petey. What I'm trying to, I'm worse than you right now. We got Goosebumps if you like Goosebumps books, Uncle Doug's DVD Bin if you like movies, and Indie Quest if you like those indie games.
I don't know what that impression was. I think it was Harry Carey having a stroke or an episode of some kind.
Yeah, it sounds like he ate too many stripes sandwiches.
Oh, I could go for one of those right now. You can send an email to the show at drunkfedpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not interested in sending us an email, I take personal offense to that.
Yep.
Reach out to us. Say hi. You don't even have to ask us a question or if something we've talked about before. Just say whatever you need to say. That's fine.
Get it off your chest.
Get it off your chest. And just give us a rating and review on a podcast app of your choice, and that'll help us out big time.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, it will. We got some social medias out there. You can find SNES Drunk at SNES Drunk just about everywhere. I'm at Trav Plays Games. Also, we have a subreddit, r/polymedia, and we have an Instagram for the whole network that is being rather underutilized, and that's my fault, but that's at Polymedia Network.
The track you hear was composed by our friend Kular and is called Electric Starbounce. You can find a link to more of his music on the Buzzsprout podcast page, and a shout-out to Josh Leslie for our third... I'm psyching myself out. Shout out to Josh Leslie for our thirst-quenching logo.
Very good. Be sure to catch us on YouTube. Thanks for listening.
And thanks for being patronizing, Trav. Have a nice, great rest of your day.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.